Hello and welcome to a Collector Box Light episode on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be opening up a subscription box and discussing the contents. The package in front of me now is from Arctify, and this is the March t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Came a couple of days into the month. Usually it's at the end of the month, but that's why we didn't do it last time. This is the usual shiny silver pouch thing, complete with a Arctify postcard that actually tells us about the shirt.
That's rare. Or new.
Or new. It is a black t-shirt. That is a Defenders t-shirt with Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. It's predominantly in black and white on a black shirt. Little bit of purple and stuff on Jessica Jones. But all the others are almost like they were done on graph paper. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And Marvel Knights is what's on the back.
Hmm.
Marvel Knights was the imprint that a lot of those characters had shown up in at one point. Now, according to this, it's to celebrate the new season of Marvel's Jessica Jones series on Netflix, and just explaining a little on the background of the Marvel Knights stuff. So, pretty good.
They kind of flow down into the skyline.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice design. It's, again, the grid work or whatever is a little interesting. I'm not sure what prompted that.
Yeah.
But black shirt, Texas summer, maybe a little while before I wear this.
Can't imagine why.
This, again, is a $9 plus shipping, I think it is.
Yeah.
So it's like 11, 12 bucks.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth the money and such if you're into geek type t-shirts.
I agree.
So anything else? We good?
We're good.
Hi, Nathan here with the April 2018 Comic Bento unboxing segment. The theme for this month's box is artifacts. The little blurb from Comic Bento says that from the mystical to the sentimental, heirlooms to honorary and technological, comics have no shortage of artifacts for heroes and villains to use in their quests. This can transfer to everyday life in the form of a special car or lucky shirt. Pretty much any artifact that we can assign importance to. This month, Comic Bento shines a special light on artifacts that drive us, call to us, avenge us, and more. So that's the general theme for this month. So, as I always like to do, I like to kind of look at the sales charts and see if anything jumps out at me in the, you know, that might have to do with artifacts and stuff. Looking around that 1,500 copy range, which seems like some items have fallen in the past on the diamond sales charts. The only thing that really jumps out at me was at rank 33 last month was Avengers and the Infinity Gauntlet. If there's ever an artifact that, you know, screams comic books, it's the Infinity Gauntlet. Right now, 1 week from right now, I will be at the movie theater watching the new Infinity War movie, which I'm so hyped for. But anyway, this is not a movie review podcast. This is a Comic Bento podcast. So let me dive into the box and see what we can find. All right. And we have first on the list. Ah, okay. This is definitely artifacts and it's Avengery, but it's not the Infinity Gauntlet. It is Avengers, Fear Itself. For those who don't remember, Fear Itself was a Marvel crossover several years ago. Had to do with, I believe, like Thor's grandfather's or Thor's father's brother. So Odin's brother, I think it was Bor or somebody, came back from, you know, his entrapment or whatever for years. And he had bestowed upon a variety of heroes and villains hammers or weapons similar to Thor's Mjolnir. And they wreaked havoc and everything and brought fear. So anyway, I guess that fits with the theme of artifacts. This one, so this is Avengers Fear Itself trade, by Bendis, Romita Jr., Bachalo, and Diodato. It collects Avengers 13 through 17 and New Avengers 14 through 16. So this isn't the main series, but this is just some of the crossover tie-in series. This was after this all took place well after Secret Invasion and Dark Reign and Siege and everything. I think the New Age of Heroes. So let's see. When did this one come out? This one was printed. This came out in 2012. Yeah. So like I said, pencilers like Chris Pachalo and John Romita Jr. and Mike Diodato. And these were all written by Michael Bendis. These were the Avengers series he was writing at the time. So I believe I remember reading this at one point. But on the front cover, you've got Thor, Red Hulk, Spider-Woman, Hawkeye, Iron Man. On the back, you've got Daredevil, Ms. Marvel, Spider-Man, and Iron Fist. So whole collection of Avengers. So looking forward to checking that one out again. Oh, okay. The next one is... The Ride from Image Comics. The Ride, 12-gauge comics, volume 1. I remember buying some of these issues, oh boy, like 10, 15 years ago. The Ride, I think, had to do with a car, very special car. And apparently the car was the one constant in all these short stories. I don't think they really connected at all. It was just you had this car and had some special special meaning to it, or some special aura to it, or something like that, and just all sorts of crazy stories that involved this car. This car, I think, is some kind of like 1960s Camaro or something. It's pretty crazy. Let's see. The Ride Volume 1. This was... Let's see. Who works on this? Oh, wow. Whole tons of people. Chris Bruner, Chuck Dixon, Kevin Gardner, Cully Hamner, Adam Hughes, George Janty, Dave Johnson, Ron Mars, Brian Stelfreeze, Doug Wagner, whole slew of famous creators. I'm trying to see when this trade actually came out. Oh, there it is. Oh, this is from 2007. It reprints The Ride number 1 and 2, The Ride 2 for the Road, and The Ride Foreign Parts. So, yeah, this one's a 10-year-old trade. You know what? I'll probably recognize maybe the first or second issue. I remember picking some of these up. It looks like it's all black and white series from Image Comics. So, yeah, I definitely flipping through the back. I recognize some of the covers in the cover gallery in the back. So, this one looks pretty. I mean, I'm happy to read it again. I liked them at the time. I think it was just one of those that it just kind of dropped off my radar. You know, it came out very sporadically. It wasn't regular. It was lots of one shots or a 2-issue series or something like this. So it'll be nice to take a look at that. The next one is from Valiant Comics, Savage by B. Clay Moore, Clayton Henry, Louis LaRosa, and Brian Reber. I think this, so Savage, it looks like, from my guess, is that I know the current version of Valiant Comics doesn't have the rights to Turok the Dinosaur Hunter. Because that was a Gold Key character, and you know, they just don't have those rights. Those have gone somewhere else. I think they may be at Dynamite right now. So it looks like Valiant's just kind of creating their own, you know, Savage young kid or something. I mean, looking at the covers on the back, I see a guy wearing, you know, a tooth necklace and everything, and you know, spears and tooth knives, and there's dinosaurs and pterodactyls and all up here. It looks like Valiant just kind of created their own version of Turok the Dinosaur Hunter, but I have not read this, so I'm looking forward to this. This one, I know this is a fairly recent one. Yeah, it came out in 2017. It reprints Savage number 1 through 4. Yeah, I think the series was back from 16-17. So, just kind of flipping through, I really like the art. Looks like it. Oh, yeah, Clayton Henry, he used to do a lot of Archer and Armstrong, I believe, from looking at this. Yeah, it looks like the art styles jump back and forth between the past and the present, two different art styles for each time period. I'm looking forward to this one. I saw it on the list of Valiant comics that I wanted to check out, so I will get it. Oh, and I just flip it through the last page. It says, will return. So maybe there'll be a second volume that'll come out someday. And let's go see our last book. This is a nice little hardcover. Wars in Toyland by Joe Harris and Adam Polina. Well, I know these. This is from Oni Press. I have absolutely no idea what this is. So I'm going to read the blurb on the back. Toyland was once a place of wonder and beauty, at least until the teddy bear dictator Roxbury took over. After Matthew's brother and playmate Alex mysteriously disappears, Matthew finds himself whisked away from his ordinary home into the extraordinary Toyland. Guided by his own loyal toy soldiers, Matt soon learns that he is not the first in his family to visit Toyland. Alex has been there too. Now in the clutches of the cotton-stuffed despot Roxbury, Alex's only hope for rescue is his brother. But is there anything left for Alex to save, or has he been corrupted and transformed into something new? Wow, that sounds kind of crazy. The front's got some toy soldiers and toy cannons on the front. It's actually not in your normal comic book style. I don't know what you call this. Imagine if you flipped your normal comic book 90 degrees and the binding was still on the left. It's very widescreen format, I guess is a way to say it. The presentation's real nice. Came out in 2013. This is a first edition. This looks very cool. Like I said, they're taking advantage of the widescreen format and just really filling up the page. This looks very, very cool. I think, see if they have any extras in the back or anything like that. No crazy extras or anything like that. Looking back, you know, sometimes in these comic bentos, I get things I've read before or possibly own. I don't own any of these. Well, actually, technically, I guess a one or two issues of The Ride I own. And I've read The Avengers Fear itself. So I personally, out of the four trades, I've read or own one and a half of them or so. But I'm really love going back and rereading some of these again. I'm actually very satisfied. I always try to figure out how they fit into the theme of artifacts. I understand how Avengers Fear itself and The Ride, I guess Savage, just because it's old, you know, prehistoric time periods maybe. And the Toyland, maybe just the toys or artifacts. So anyway, the summary, I've got Savage from Valiant Comics, The Ride from Image Comics, Avengers Fear Itself from Marvel, and Wars in Toyland from Oni Press. Also, just to give a little quick summary of the books I read in the last month. Last month's theme was going digital. There was a Magnus Robot Fighter. It was volume one of the recent Dynamite series from just two or three years ago or something. I had read that before, but it was a really good story about how just, this guy wakes up in this future world where the robots are the ones in control and everything, and he's apparently destined to be the robot fighter who will overthrow all the robots and bring humanity back. It was really good. I'm looking forward. I'm going to go check out from the library volume 2 and 3. Another one was Psycho Bonkers from Aspen Comics. That was just a fun little all ages romp of just in a future where there's sentient, semi-sentient like cars that, and you know, there's these race teams, it's like wacky races, and they're racing cross country trying to win the race. And then there's an interesting backstory to the history behind this one racer and her father and what happened to him, and he may have mysteriously passed away earlier. Also another great one was Avengers Rage of Ultron by Rick Remender and Jerome Pena. That was a really, really good hardcover presentation book. I like that one a lot. The last one was an interesting one called Skinned from Insight Comics. They're apparently a new publisher somehow in the past year. I actually ran into the booth at Insight Comics at C2E2 a couple weeks ago, and I sat there and talked with them for a little bit. They seem very interesting. I've gotten a couple books from them so far from Comic Bento, and they said there may be some more coming from Insight Comics, so I'm looking forward to that. We bought a couple extra little books from them. We bought a little, kind of like a Pinky in the Brain type of book. So Insight Comics is another one that I'm looking forward to. This one, Skinned, was very interesting. Imagine if it's a futuristic society where you put a little contact lensy thing in your eye and you kind of can put a skin over everything you see, like a theme. I want to be in ancient Egypt, so everything I see has an ancient Egypt theme. I want to be in the Wild West, so everything I look, everyone looks like they're dressed like cowboys and bar saloons and stuff like that. It was very interesting, and just kind of how society has had the wool pulled over its eyes and is complacent and everything, and some people are going to break out of that society. So those are just a few of the books I had last month. Actually, taking a look here real quick at the card that'll tell me about next month. Next month, the themes. Please join us next month when we break down the ones and twos and do some number crunching. I think John Mayo might like this one. I don't know if they're really going to be making a comic book about his Mayo reports and the number crunching he does, but we'll see what number crunching means. I can't think of any number crunching type of comic books. Yeah, that's an interesting theme. I'm wondering what they're going to pull for that one. So, but anyway, I am Nathan. This is the Comic Bento unboxing for April 2018. Hope you enjoyed and catch you next month. Thanks. Bye.
The box in front of me now is the Firefly cargo crate. This is about 11 inches by about 7 1/4 by about, we'll say 5 1/2-ish. This is still flying, seems to be the logo. We actually have a smaller sticker on this that actually does peel off.
Haha.
As opposed to the big massive UPS store one. I think they do listen.
I think they do too.
Because they did a very good job of getting to where it's not like completely all over the box, which I really appreciate.
Yay!
And this is it's a nice sticker with Serenity on it in front of a planet or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Shall we open up, see what it is?
Yes, please. Helps if you find the front.
Helps if I find the front.
I was helping.
No, not really. All right, we'll start with the t-shirt. This is a dark blue t-shirt of Big Damn Heroes with Firefly in the center of the B. And
the Big Damn Heroes doing their Charlie's Angels pose.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to phrase it, actually. I like how we've got kind of the planetscape and whatnot.
I like it.
It's nice. It is something that you wear that at a con, and there are going to be people who obviously recognize Firefly and a few others of, well, what's all that about? So you can tell the true believers. I'll be honest, we've taken the t-shirt out, and I've got one other thing, and this box does not feel very full.
Interesting.
This is the item that was taking up most of it, and it appears to be a collection of posters.
Oh, like maybe the travel posters for the various planets.
That could be. They're nicely packaged. I don't want to open them up. We'll see if the answer key tells us in a minute. The lapel pin or whatever this time is Big Damn Heroes, this time in color. And it's funny because some of the stuff shows up better, some of it not so much in this thing. The text, I think, showed up better on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I like the colors and stuff on this.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing we've got is, I'm not sure, is a fridge magnet?
Well, it looks like one of those plaques you put on a spaceship or something to say who made it.
It is, and I'm thinking it may be magnetic to where you could almost put this on a car or whatever. It's an Engineered by Firefly. It's the kind of the emblem you would put on a car, spaceship, whatever.
That's funny.
I don't know if it's magnetic or not. The feel of it on the bottom feels like it could be.
Yeah, it feels like it should be.
I just don't have anything handy to stick it to. And again, there's no rush.
Yeah.
But it's a nice 3D, and this thing is pretty good size.
Yeah, maybe 6 inches by 3?
Try 8 inches.
Wow.
By 5.
Wow.
I mean, this is good size thing.
Well, and I'd say, what, 1/2 inch thick at least?
At least. Yeah. It's definitely three-dimensional foamish sort of a thing.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So, yeah, they did a good job on that.
We'll have to decide which part of your house Firefly engineered.
We've got the sticker for Still Flying. We've got a postcard for Still Flying. I'm sensing a theme. And then we've got the Can't Stop the Signal final issue. That's...
Say what?
It says final issue.
Yeah, I'm still on say what?
It does have at the bottom of the front first page, in our next crate, what, you were expecting cancellation? I'm like, well, yeah. Apparently season 2 kicks off with a brand new Little Damn Heroes mini master and more.
Do you think this was the 13th crate and this was some kind of rib on season 1 had 13 episodes?
Yes.
Not cool.
Yeah, and the first thing is this is the last issue of the Signal, but we're going to keep doing crates. I'm just scanning this. I'm not sure if we're going to get another magazine next time or if they're just ending that.
Interesting. Ending the magazine, which has had quite a bit of content with interviews and lots of layout work involved in it.
Yeah, and it's gotten thinner and thinner. So if they're stopping it, I can understand that.
Yeah, as long as they're still putting an answer key in. you know, just an Evergrown postcard answer key would be fine.
They do have a season one retrospective for the shows, just a paragraph on each or whatever. I think they were running out of content for this.
Well, with so few episodes, that's easy to have happen.
The poster set looks to be one for each character.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Which is kind of cool.
That explains why I thought I was seeing Overlander's Brigade. That'd be either Mal or Zoe.
Yeah, we don't see the bottom of those. They've just got them there. But yeah, there's like 9 of them, one for each member. That's cool. It's a plaque, and it doesn't say if it's magnetic for the Firefly one. But that's it in the box. The posters took up most of the space. The plaque took up some of it. There was no mini master or whatever. There was no other statue. There have been other boxes that have had more substance, literally, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, we had the shirt, which is, what, $15 value?
I'm not saying it was a bad value, but it's not one of those where some of the others, I think, were much more impressive.
Yeah, exactly. I guess my point is that it feels like you have to think through that you got the value, because it doesn't jump out at you like the one with the flask.
Yes.
Where it was obvious. Oh, wow.
Or Jane's hat or things of that sort.
Kaylee's bear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think this is still worth getting. Don't get me wrong. I think they're in a little bit, apparently, of a transition phase. And I don't know if they just didn't have the mini masters or whatever ready for this. Part of it is 13 boxes, 9 characters.
Yeah. And they probably don't want to just keep sending the same over and over.
And that's the challenge I think we've always said with this is you're doing it from such a condensed amount of material.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to do figures for all 9 of the leads, plus Mr. Universe, Mal's wife, Niska, Badger, the guy who went after him, Jewel or whatever. Mm.
Yeah.
And then
the bounty hunter.
The guy in the movie.
Yeah.
Even then, you're still under, 20 figures right there. And we're 13 boxes in. Not all boxes have had a figure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could make a figure for the hero of Canton.
It's just another Jane figure, but yeah.
But it's Sandy. Muddy, technically.
True. But I think the other thing is, I think the market for subscription boxes, I think, is a bit softer than it was. Since the last time when we were debating if we should cancel the DC box, not the World's Finest, but the other one, it ended.
Yeah.
And the Star Trek one is having some delays. And I don't feel like we've really pruned back that much. But, I mean, we're doing a recording session here for this episode. We may have another one if another thing or two comes in, but I kind of doubt it. This is the only subscription box.
Yeah.
Other than the Arctify t-shirts, of which we have 2. We've got a few other things we'll talk about here, but it's not as many boxes coming out as fast and furious as they were at one point.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they're struggling to find their way a little bit. So we'll see what happens with this one. Certainly this, if it were my first box, I'd be a little underwhelmed.
Yeah.
But it's not, and we'll see what happens moving forward on this.
I agree.
So the package in front of me now is the April Arctify t-shirt. Once again, we've got the same basic pouch and stuff. This seems to be the one box that hasn't had any delays or anything of the sort. They seem to have a pretty good game plan. Of course, it's just a t-shirt, so that simplifies the logistical issues. And I think they make the shirts themselves.
Yeah.
And once again, we've got a explanation card, which I think is a good addition to the
Packet.
All right, we've got a dark gray shirt with the Infinity Gauntlet on it, and it's done in text, which at the bottom I can start to read Infinity War, Cosmic Threat, Infinite Power and stuff, but as it gets up towards the top, not so much because it's smaller text. So kind of interesting, and of course it's got a thing in the back for Thanos with the fist, or the Infinity Gauntlet. So very timely to come out with the movie and such. I really do think somebody needs to make essentially a rubber glove kind of Infinity Gauntlet with the different stones and stuff.
You want an Infinity Gauntlet? Is that what you're saying?
Who doesn't?
Okay.
So once again, this is $9-ish plus shipping. It's well worth getting if you're into these kinds of shirts and such.
Yeah, it's a good shirt.
Yeah, it's good quality stuff and it's good design.
Yeah.
So So this next package is another package from Hawaii, from Jason. About 12 inches by, well, we'll say 13 and a half by, we'll say about 4 inches. This is a Christmas package. But, you know, life gets in the way. It took a little bit for him to send it out, which is fine.
Feels like Christmas to me.
Hey, it's Christmas in May. I'm happy with that. It spreads... Spreads the joy over the year. Let's see what we got. Oh, he actually tells us who the stuff's for, so I guess some of this might be for you.
Well, that's very nice.
This, however, is not. This particular item is clearly labeled for me. Jason's gotten some pretty cool stuff before. We've got a t-shirt here. It's a Tales from the Comic-Con MauiCon shirt. Very cool. It's got a comic book cover design. It's promoting that convention for Stan Sakai, Mark Teixeira, and Kuliana, I believe it is. I may have mispronounced that. But that's kind of cool. So shirt from the local convention there. Nice. It's like a Tales from the Crypt sort of a style cover. Again, black. So not a, a heat of the Texas summer sort of attire, but there's plenty of other times of year to...
I don't know why you won't wear black on 100 degree days.
Spontaneous combustion.
You are so picky.
But it's actually, our local convention here tends to be in the wintertime. So perfect to wear at that.
Yes.
This next one is also for me.
I see.
There may not be stuff for you. I don't know. We will find out.
And you continue to not sound disappointed.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. This is a white shirt. It's a long sleeve. And Jason, apologies for mispronouncing all this stuff. I don't speak Hawaiian. I barely speak English. Mele Kaliki Kaliki.
I think it says Merry Christmas in Hawaiian.
Because it's, yeah, it's Santa on a surfboard. That's very cool. I like that.
Santa on a bicycle right. With a surfboard.
On a bicycle with a surfboard. You are correct. That's cool. That's
Kaliki
nice.
Maka.
I will have to definitely hang on to this for Christmas time this year.
Yes.
It would be fun to show up and work with that. All right. These I will definitely be sharing. We got Hawaiian Host Aloha Max Creamy Milk Chocolate Covered Macadamias, which I believe will be very popular with said sister.
Yes.
Ah, this is for you. I will let you open that. Are you going to say anything about it?
Well, I got a long note.
Yeah, there's some reading involved in that one. That's why it's for you. I'm kidding.
You know,
start with the t-shirt first. It'll get the...
If you want me to tease you about the fact you read books with pictures. Oh, well... The t-shirt looks familiar.
Yes, you got a matching shirt. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Very cool.
Oh, it's a local book. Cry Ohana, Adventure and Suspense in Hawaii. Interesting. It's a book written seemingly by local authors with lots of local color.
Well, that's cool. And I wonder if it's a series. Oh, it's even, you got it inscribed.
Very nice. See, I went to the back cover.
It looks like a series. No, it's chapter one, chapter two. So I was not sure if it was a series of short stories or what. But it's about 300-400 pages and stuff. That's cool.
Very nice. Adventurously yours.
Oh. And let's see what else we got in here. And we've got...
Coffee.
Lion Coffee out of Honolulu, Hawaii. Very cool. Actually, we've got two different types, I think, in there.
Yes.
The other is chocolate coconut.
Ah.
Edition. Kona coffee blend. Very cool. So thank you, Jason. Very thoughtful of you. Like the shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And the book seems like you should have fun with that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. I think, and we noticed this when we did the Mount Rushmore trip. There are books that are just local interest type stuff that can be fascinating to a much wider audience. It's just the wider audience isn't always going to find them.
Yeah. Very true.
So... Very cool. Very much worth the wait. Again, like I said, thank you, Jason. We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anything else on this?
I think we're good.
All right, this next set of items is not a subscription box. It's something I've gotten a lot of it through Amazon, actually, mainly Amazon US, because I can't get these shipped from Amazon Japan. These are some Super Sentai figures. Now, a couple of these, the first five, I've had for a couple of years, and they're the first set of Go Rangers, okay, which is the initial five heroes back in 75 to 77, I think. And they're essentially
plastic figures, or vinyl figures, actually. Sorry, vinyl. That are, 6-7 inches tall, thereabouts. The posability is the arms move a little bit at the shoulder joint, and really that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe the head, not even the head. Yeah, there's no articulation at the elbows, the knees, or pretty much anywhere. But as you can tell, while they're fairly simple figures,
They're good looking.
They're pretty good quality. Now that's Aka Ranger, I believe, which is, and I could be getting some of the names wrong, so forgive me. They can stand, although that's not a particularly level thing you're putting them on. That was the original Red Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Now his team also comprised of, go figure, 5 Rangers and stuff. These are conveniently numbered on the helmets.
Ah!
And I would have to look up the names on them. It's essentially the Japanese word for the color and then Ranger.
Ah.
So there's Momo Ranger, which is the, I think that's the pink one. There's Shishi Ranger, which is either the green or the yellow. Clearly, I don't know my Japanese colors. Our cousins would be so upset.
I was thinking that too.
This might be Akko Ranger, which would be blue. And again, I'm probably getting them wrong. But you'll note at the time, these are almost more like bicycle outfit type suits, not spandex.
Yeah.
Because again, this was the 70s. So we've got the red one, the blue one, going in numerical order here, the yellow one, the female pink, and the green. And they're in their kind of basic, you know, kind of power pose or what have you.
Yeah, okay.
Standing as if you were to do a group shot or whatever. And what I like about these is it's fun to have something that depicts the characters that is affordable, because these, when they come out, are around like $8.
That's not bad.
So 800 yen or whatever. If you go back for earlier ones, sometimes they can cost a little bit more if they're harder to find or just lower production run, whatever. But I had gotten these because they were the original batch of Rangers. And I'm like, hey, this is just cool. And it's not like I need the posability or whatever on them. But it's something where I think you could do a pretty good display of them somewhere.
They have very impressive belts.
They do. This is back when the belts were really huge. The other thing about these figures that I find interesting, and it's a aspect of their production, is they've got a plastic thing to where you can hang them on a
display
or whatever. And then they've got a tag that opens up like a book or whatever, that if you can read Japanese, which I cannot, tell you a bit about the characters and such.
Momo Ranger.
See? I got some of them right. This is Aka Ranger. That's red. Momo was AO Ranger or Owl Ranger or whatever is the blue one.
Mido Ranger. Green.
Key Ranger is green, is yellow. And then Aka Ranger is red. But what's kind of cool is because it's got this hook, I can kind of put them all on something and kind of, if I wanted to display them that way, I could.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'd gotten these a couple of years ago. And I've gotten a little frustrated that the SH Figure Arts line had been discontinued a couple of years back. Now, those cost literally, in some cases, 10 times as much as these. But they are wildly articulated.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've shown you a couple. You can swap out the hands to get different gestures. And it's got stuff at the wrists, the elbows, the shoulders, the waist, I mean, the feet. You can get them into most of the poses of the characters.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But they're discontinued. The Power Rangers Legacy stuff only does the Legacy one. This, of course, is the original Super Sentai team, not season 16 of Super Sentai, which is what became the first Power Rangers team. And Power Rangers Legacy has been discontinued, at least through Saban, because Hasbro's gotten the license. Maybe Hasbro will pick stuff up. But if they can do something that's got this level of design detail, I'd like to have a little more articulation, but having a good rendition of the costume I find pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give me a sec, I'm going to put all but the Red Ranger off to the side for a moment. Now, they're on season 42 of Super Sentai with Lupin Ranger versus Pata Ranger or something like that. It's a cops versus robbers thing. They started doing these figures 10 or 15 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have all of them, but I have been able to get a lot of the ones they do have made. This is, I'm pretty sure, from Sun Vulcan, but I'd have to double check that. But this is, other than the original Ranger, the oldest Red Ranger I've got of the bunch.
Yeah, very different costume.
Yeah, this is where you can start to see a bit more of the spandex kind of a feel. The helmet's a lot more streamlined than the bigger kind of bubbly visor that they originally had. The belt's a lot more lean. And also, it feels like this is a slightly taller scale figure, just based on where the belt lands and such. But I had basically decided, you know, these things at around $10, a little more since some of these are a little older, are within the affordable range. And I'd like to get to where I have a full set of Red Rangers.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they haven't made a full set of these, but the closest I have to that is a series of Gashapon figures that came out with 30th team of Sentai. And they're literally about 2 inches tall. And they came in two parts. You plug the waist into the bottom, put them on a stand. And it's cool because I've got 30 of them. But now we've got another dozen Rangers or so. So that's, and they're not continuing those, which really I wish they would. So I picked up a few more of them. The next one is Zoo Ranger's Red Ranger, which is, of course, Mighty Morphin Red. And then most of the others, of course, this is where we get into the period where they could have adapted into, and for the most part have adapted into, Power Rangers. But there's a gap between Super Sentai 16 and what I think is 25, and that would have been Wild Force Season 10. And we've got that Red Ranger. And again, at this point, the articulation is the elbow, or not the elbows, the shoulders, the arm goes up and down, and that's it. But they've got pretty good detail on the helmets. You can start looking at, hey, this is how the boots are a little different from season to season. They've got sculpted on the side, in this case, the dagger on the Mighty Morphin one. It's got the gun type thing. And I'm not going to say they're hideously detailed on the belt, but they're surprisingly detailed on the belt.
Well, and they give you a very good idea of the costume. I'm just sitting here noticing that they're pretty simple geometric consistencies.
And that's part of why I like having these things, is you can start to get that sense of what sort of design elements start to change from year to year. Because again, you go to Go Ranger, he's got a cape, you know, none of the others do at this point. We then move on a couple of seasons later to Deco Ranger, which is Power Rangers SPD. And you can see how it's got the one motif on the side. This was very much a cops and robbers, or not cops and robbers, just cops approach. And this is one where the ear things on the do kind of a light up lights and sirens kind of a thing on the show.
That's fine.
Obviously, this is a cheap plastic toy. It does none of that.
Man.
We then hit with this figure. Magi Ranger, which was Power Rangers Mystic Force. Note that we've got the cape back. We've got kind of the long black lines going up, the V sort of a thing, again, harkening back to some of the earlier designs.
Yeah.
And you can also see how some of them have a very straight visor. Others, like this one, start to get more that Phoenix motif or whatever for the visor. Now, the next one was one where they went in some radically different design decisions for it. And at the time, people, including myself, because I started watching with ABBA Ranger, which was, I think, a season or two before Deca Ranger, SPD there. But what became Power Rangers Jungle Fury of Geki Ranger, note the lack of a belt.
I would have guessed that was Jungle Fury. It looks very animal.
Yeah, it does. And it's got like the claw kind of motif. It's got what almost looks like sunglass sort of a thing on the helmet. This is where, for Power Rangers, they swapped out the visor. Because if you note, he's got gauntlet-type things on the wrists. Those were the changers, the morphers, over in Super Sentai. For this, they decided, okay, they're still going to have those because, well, they're part of the costume. They had sunglass morphers.
Oh, how funny.
And there's an actor we've seen on some other shows here and there. He was in, what was the Kiefer Sutherland one with the kid who saw, like, numbers or whatever it was. You know the show I'm talking about. He was an airport baggage handler and had the kid with the special needs. I think that was the one with the son who couldn't talk or whatever, had the numbers. There was an actor who was showing up there, and I'm like, I recognize that guy. He played RJ, who was kind of the Zen out there hippie leader or mentor of the team.
It was the show where everything was connected.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
So he played a generic business guy, essentially.
Yeah.
But his character was the type of, hey, isn't this cool? We've got sunglass morpher kind of a things. So, but again, you can see the different sort of more simplistic style of the bodysuit and stuff like that. Then we hit Go Onger, which is a car-themed Super Sentai. Note the wheel type earpiece, the seatbelt type V things going down to the belt, which again harkens back towards what we'd seen as far back as the original Go Ranger with that V sort of motif.
Yeah.
Their guns actually looked like the gas nozzles.
Oh, how funny.
And you can see where we've got tire type things around the wrists and the boots. And almost along the side of the arm, the road dash stripes and such. So it's fun to be able to see the different design elements. And again, the fact I could do these for just, you know, under $10 a shot, it's like, this is pretty easy. This next one is Go Buster. And again, I've got these out in essentially, as far as I can tell, chronological order for the shows, for the Super Sentai shows. I want to stress that here because Go Buster is being released as Power Rangers Beast Morphers or something like that. I forget the exact title. It's the next season to show up as Power Rangers. Hmm. It hasn't started yet. And I've got a few more figures here, so it's out of order, which is unusual. Note the black pants. Note, again, more of the bicycle sort of leather jacket approach. Almost the holster sort of a thing. This had almost a spy-based sort of motif. They had kind of adopted, again, the sunglass visor-style helmet. Unlike most of the others where there's the black part of the visor they see through, in this case, it was colored for the Ranger.
Interesting. That's a first among these.
Yes. And again, there's many seasons we don't have here. Yeah. But that's part of why I thought this would be kind of cool to get. Let me get a few of these sort of out of the way because we're running out of space.
However did that happen?
The next one we have is Shinkanger, which became Power Rangers Samurai and Super Samurai. Note the very blatant samurai motif.
Mm-hmm.
Complete with the helmet that's got like a kanji character on it.
Yeah.
That was one when that Super Sentai show came out. It's like, geez, how are they going to adapt this? It's got actual Japanese in the thing. But if it's something that the legacy of the power comes from Japan, etc., you can actually do. Again, black pants. In this case, it's got a gold belt. So they're staying. It's all of these are identifiable as, again, what you would see as the Mighty Morphin almost hallmark of Power Rangers. And even if you compare it to the original Red Ranger, they all fit the rough description of they're in a colored bodysuit. There's a pattern on it. It varies a little from member to member, but it's recognizable as the same pattern.
Yeah.
It's got the helmet with the visor, the gloves, the boots. That next up is actually one of my favorite Super Sentais. I really enjoyed. Yeah, this is definitely pirate themed. It was Gokaiger. And their power, or their theme, because each of these have themes. Again, there was the spy for Go Busters, the samurai stuff. This was Super Sentai. They actually themed the Sentai on Sentai, and their powers were of the previous suits.
Oh, that's funny.
So they could turn into any of the past Rangers.
That's funny.
And it was a little, it had the risk of being very inward-facing and...
Yeah.
Too self-reflexive, but it wasn't. It was good for the 35th anniversary. It was a good history on Super Sentai. It was a lot of fun. Characters are cool. And the fact they get like almost that pirate hat kind of a thing built into the helmet motif. They've got the skull and crossbones kind of a logo.
The pirate jacket.
It's fun to see how they can do very clear theming for each season, yet not be, oh my God, this is nothing like the previous. It's not identical to the previous. There's change, but similarity.
Yeah.
And again, we've got a couple of seasons in a row where we've got the black pants versus the typical it's red or whatever the Ranger color is. And that became Power Rangers Megaforce and Super Megaforce. Actually, let me correct. That became Power Rangers Super Megaforce. There's another figure that fits in between. Actually had white pants. It was from Gosiger. I just haven't been able to find that figure yet. And that became Power Rangers Megaforce. So in Power Rangers, they actually switch costumes, morphers, and powers.
Hmm.
And this is during the Neo Saban era is what it's typically called. It's the second run of Saban did Power Rangers, sold it to Disney, bought it back, did it for a while, has now sold it to Hasbro. That second Saban run is this Neo Saban stuff. They tended to be doing two seasons per team.
Hmm.
And either they'd have power-ups or whatever. In the case of Super or of Samurai, they kept the suits and stuff. In the case of Megaforce, they split it two different suits, pulling from two different shows. When they went to the next one of Dino Force, I believe, which is like the third or fourth Dino-themed Super Sentai, and actually the third Power Rangers Dino-themed one. They went for two seasons on that, but they had like 10 Rangers on the Super Sentai, so they had plenty to pull from. But again, you've got kind of the diagonal across the torso, which is not radically different than, in concept, the Gow Ranger for Wild Force.
Yeah.
So similar concept, different instantiation. And it's one where the triangular part of the pattern, the upper left, I guess, on the character is kind of the dino themed. And I like how you got the teeth things around the big part of the visor. And some of the visors have the gray where the mouth would go. And of course, part of why Saban originally thought this would be so easy to bring over is you don't have to worry about dubbing when you can't see lips move.
Imagine that.
Way simpler. I wish I had Hurricaneer, because that was the one where the masks opened up and you could actually see the face on the Power Ranger side and Super Sentai side. So now we start to get a little bit more current with Ninninja. This is what's currently Power Rangers Ninja Force, I believe it. Ninja Steel. And Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel.
Hmm.
And this is the main Red Ranger. This series, actually on the Super Sentai side, it was another legacy based. In this case, who's the last ninja? So the Red Ranger, the other Rangers are his siblings or cousins. His father would have been a Red Ranger, but certain things happen later in the season. He gets those powers. His grandfather had been a Red Ranger. So at one point, you've got like three Red Rangers showing up.
Hmm.
And then in the movie they do for it, his son from the future shows up. So you get a fourth.
Nice. Of course,
the grandfather's gone. So it's, yeah, whatever. It's kind of funny. And the main thing that changes is the sash for the Red Rangers. But again, this is one where you've got a different style, kind of a visor looking at it. But again, you hit the belt, the boots, the same basic motifs, different themes on it. In this case, we had black sleeves versus typically red sleeves. And then the next season, yeah, pretty sure it's the next. I'm wondering if I missed one in there as figures. This is season 40. I must have missed. You know what I don't have is, I did miss one. I don't have Tokuger. That was the train-based one.
Mm.
I'm sure they've done a figure. I just need to chase that down, I guess. But this one is one that they have not yet adapted. Because after Ninninja, they're going back to Go Buster. But this next theme is animals. And talk about dirt simple costume design. Tokuger was pretty simple too. But with this one, it's essentially a red bodysuit. It's got the belt, the boots, the gloves. They have almost Charlie Brown type borders around them, giving it almost, again, a claw animalist-ish look. But they did a silk screen, in this case, eagle for him. Or whatever the animal was for the other characters.
Yeah.
So way simpler versus a bit more ornate in some of these others. But that's a pendulum that swings back and forth. So for season 41, they got a little bit more complicated. Almost go with like a crop top on top of a red outfit. For Q Ranger, I think it is. It gets to where I can't tell the difference of pronunciation between a couple of the different teams. Because they all have a couple of K's, Y's, and U's up at the front. And it's like, okay. This is a almost Zodiac, celestial sort of style, themed, series, which I'm about a quarter of the way through. It has 9 initial Rangers, which they start with like 3 and quickly accumulate more. And by the 9th episode, they've got all 9. They've added a 10th, an 11th, with a 12th coming a little later. So again, pretty full boat, which is probably why they're not adapting it yet to Power Rangers.
Makes sense.
When they did Deca Ranger, which also had about a dozen or whatever, it's a little hard to adapt that many. But then we hit season 42, and this is where we start to get another break from tradition of instead of having, hang on as I clear the deck and make some more room, instead of having one team of Rangers, we have two teams. This one is Lupin Ranger and Pato Ranger, and it's cops versus robbers.
Ah.
And it's a very theatrical robbers sort of approach. They've got capes, they've got top hat sort of motif on their visors. They're more black, i.e. dark hat kind of characters. And think of the cartoon style top hat villain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going up against another series of Rangers, which are police officers.
note the badge and badge sort of approach to the helmet, note almost the tie and lapels sort of approach, and how it's a white sort of a motif. But this is the first season to have two legitimate Red Rangers. There have been others, including the last season, where they've got another Ranger in red, but not like the team lead and not quite the same way.
Interesting.
And you can also see where they're starting to take a few corners and stuff, cutting corners on the figures a little. If you go back to the Mighty Morphin one, or even the original one, where you've got the color going all the way to the back,
mm-hmm.
for things like the holster on the belt and stuff like that. Here, they've got, they don't do the color on the back for the design on the boots and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
So, again, they've gone many seasons in on this. They've got to cut some corners somewhere, I guess. But, like I said, these are, you know, $8, $10 a shot for the most part. They do, as witness with Go Ranger, most of the team. As a matter of fact, I think they do the entire team. Now, granted, some of these are far enough back that finding those would be a little challenging.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something I'm curious about. I've tried to hold the line at just the Red Ranger, but it was tempting to go get a few of the others. I haven't done that yet. There's Tokuger, Ghost Siger, and Bokanger, and Abaranger. So four others they've done Red Rangers on that I don't have. But again, those are some of the older figures. It's just I'm a little late in the game on this.
Those are pretty cool.
It's nice that they do the collectibles, since this is a kid's show over there, that go from the rather expensive to the this is a cheap toy I can go get my kid for the year.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just thought it'd be fun to kind of go through. This is one of the many things I've been kind of accumulating or collecting or whatever, and I just thought it'd be fun to kind of run through.
Yeah, it's impressive to see how the costumes have changed. I'd say they've gotten more complex. In terms of the early ones were simple geometrics and I think simpler to make.
I think so. I think some of it, they get a little ornate on the design. Even the silkscreen one, there's a little work to do that silkscreening, but from a if you needed to do over the course of 50 episodes, a number of versions of the suit, you could.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see how the theming stays consistent while varying on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is an interesting dynamic. And it's one of those, I wish I had more of the earlier characters. They tended to have capes, scarves, and helmets that were just big.
Mm.
Because it's not like today where you can pretty much, I think, even as like a home person, if you were into cosplay or whatever, I'm not saying it's trivial to make one of these helmets, but there are people who've like 3D printed some.
Yeah.
And you can do it a lot more streamlined and effective, and you've got more access to things like the plexiglass or whatever you need for the visor. Whereas I think if you look carefully at the original one, you'll note a lot of almost holes in the visor,
because
that's how he saw out.
Yeah.
It was a mesh. So I find this stuff interesting, and one of the things that's always attracted me to action figures is having a 3D representation of the costume, of the character design, to where it's like, what does this really look like from, you know, the backside or whatever? You know, how is it supposed to be envisioned? Because there are times where, you know, an artist, they don't get it quite right. It doesn't, you don't get the three-dimensionality of it.
Yeah.
So I just thought this would be cool to share.
Yeah, it is cool.
So I'm probably going to get some more. And certainly if anyone knows where I can find some of the other Rangers at affordable prices, I'd like to know. Because even as last season's multiple Rangers for the Constellation-based one, those are hard to find. And it's only been a year. So that's that. Okay, this next box is kind of big.
It is very big.
It is about a little over 16 inches by almost 18 inches by, we'll say 13 inches. I do the most exact measurements a lazy person like I can do. this is a purchase I made recently. After recording one night, had dinner, was watching some TV. It's like, okay, I'm done with the TV show, but I'm frankly too lazy to get up. Let's see what's on YouTube. Did a little search. And one of the things I've done a couple of times is like a search on comic book room, seeing what people have done, that kind of a thing. And one of the searches I did this time, just because I hadn't done it for a while, was comic book storage.
Mm.
Just because, again, I've got a large collection and storing it is a little bit of a challenge. And I'm always looking for new ideas, whatever. And I had come across a new comic box. And in the entire history of my collecting, there's the long box.
The short box.
The short box. the drawer box.
Ooh.
You can go with the very end of the short drawer box, but there's not many to do that. There's the plastic box I'd gotten at one point that was, frankly, just, it seemed like a very flimsy short box out of plastic.
Mm.
Something that I was worried if I were to stack six high, could it hold the weight?
Yeah.
And really from there, it drops off. Unless you count the magazine box, but it's not good for comics. This is a different kind of comic box. It's from BCW. I've got a link to them on the front page of the website. And I was curious about it because it is a plastic bin. And let me pull out. There we go. We can move the big old box. See if we can do this without knocking the recording device off on the ground. But this is a comic book bin. It's a heavy-duty, acid-free, stackable plastic box. There are four of them in here. I figured if, you know, they come in a... You get a slight price break at a few things. I probably could have saved a couple of bucks if I went for five. But it had occurred to me I've got three boxes upstairs, short boxes of current comics to read. And what I got is just kind of not working as well as I'd like. So I figured I'd try these because I could stack them and restack them if I need to a little bit better. And they're plastic. They come flat-packed, so...
Impressively flat-packed.
Yeah, this individual box for one is like 3 inches thick. And again, it's about 12 inches by 17 and a half-ish, or yeah, thereabouts. So there was room for four of them in that bigger box. Plus, if you look at the box, you can see that there are four notches in the top.
Mm-hmm.
You can drop in dividers, or actually, yeah, four notches. It comes with one divider. So what I got was a couple of packages of three dividers so I could get all the different dividers.
Nice.
And you can see how they've got tabs at the bottom to notch in to the floor. So I'm curious how well these work. The other thing that's kind of interesting is they've got a spot in the front of the box.
To display a comic?
An index card.
Oh, interesting.
So you could have your inventory of what's in that box.
Nice.
Now, this, of course, has me thinking, I need a way to print index cards.
Yes.
Because I don't know of an easy way to go do that. But if I've got, not that I'm necessarily going to cut my whole collection over to it, but, you know, depending how I, if I move to a new house and do a new comic book room, how I store the comics is open to change.
Yeah.
And I could see where having a bunch of these boxes that would be easy to get in and out, having an index card kind of thing of, oh, this is what's in that box, could be handy. At the very least, for just what I've got to read and stuff like that. So, it's got, and again, this is, I've pulled out the front and or back. This is the short side of it, and it's got a spot you could just slide the card into. Then it's got longer things, and they've got interlocking tabs.
That's pretty thick, impressive plastic.
Yeah. So, if you give me a few minutes, I'm actually gonna, I think, try to assemble one of these real quick. Or real slow, and hopefully not real painfully. So, there are a couple of types of pieces. There's the front back of the box. There's the side, and it's got a front or a top that flips over, that interlocks, and you can also see the tabs that a box on top of it would kind of sit on. Whoops. I suppose it'd be good to know what's the top and what's the bottom. Well, that's unexpected. There's actually instructions. I was on the YouTube videos, they were saying it doesn't come with instructions. Snap a long side into a short side. Which is what I am trying to do. Ah, the handle side is the top side. I think I'm going to shut the microphone off for a little bit. I'll put this together and then we'll come back. How about that?
That works.
All right, so I've gotten the box assembled. It's interesting because the sides in the back and front, one side goes in one way, the other side goes in the other way.
The left versus the right.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, it's always the... like left or the right side that's the male or the female, kind of the attachments or whatever, which kind of makes sense. So it took a little bit to figure out how to get the box set up, because again, they come in flat things. So I've set it up. I've put in the comic bin partitions they've got, because it's got four notches, and one, it comes with one to where you could be moving that as you fill up the box and the comics won't fall over. I figured, well, what the hell, let's go ahead and spend a couple of bucks, get the other ones. And it's got them at roughly 3-inch intervals.
Yeah.
Not quite. And the partitions are reasonably thick, but I've got, I'm going to say about 15 and a half inches of storage. They're about, maybe take a little out for the partitions. And again, it's about 3 inches for that first partition, the second, a little over for the net, the center one, and about, again, 3 inches for each of the others. So 5 times 3 doesn't add up to, I guess it's a little over 15 inches is what I'm saying, yeah?
Yeah.
So about maybe 3 1/8 inches or something like that. So I figured this would be interesting to see how it works for, again, my assortment of new comics that I'm kind of constantly going through as I'm slowly reading and such. The top's got a interfolding kind of a deal where, let me see if I can do this, where you've got to close both sides together to close in. And the other thing that's a little interesting on that is they have a lock sort of a piece. The side's not, that's why. The lock part was engaged. So you kind of slide these tabs to the outside and it locks the box shut.
Interesting.
So you don't have to worry about if it falls, not that it should fall over, but it wouldn't go out that way. Again, the index card kind of a tab in the front and back, I find interesting and would be interesting again for putting an inventory of what's in each box.
Yeah.
Or at least an index card that's got a number for the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got...
You can't count that high.
I can't count that high how many drawer boxes in there. Which are good, because if I stack these 6 high, getting to the bottom would be a royal pain.
Yes.
So if I were to use these sorts of things, and I see pros and cons to it, I'd want to have a shelving unit that has just enough clearance to slide this in.
Yeah.
And has enough clearance that, from side to side, I could leave the top open if I wanted to.
Yes.
But as I'm getting older, the bigger the box, the heavier the box, the bigger the problem. So... again, this is the comic book bins. They're plastic from IDW, or not IDW, BCW. There was a W in there. I knew that much. And it looks like a interesting new approach to storing comics.
Yeah.
It's obviously significantly more expensive than a short box, but I think it's a bit more durable than a short box. I think it stacks better. And the fact it's got kind of the built-in partitions, I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And again, tabs to where if you stack them, they're going to, you know, stay in sync with each other.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a little harder for a stack of these to tip over. Not that we haven't seen that done with short boxes. So anything else? We good?
I think we're good.
Cool.
Hi, Nathan here with the May 2018 Comic Bento unboxing segment. The box this month from Comic Bento is entitled Number Crunching. I'm sure John will love this. The description is, dates, addresses, account balances, phone numbers. In our lives, we are constantly bombarded with information using numbers. This month, Bento is turning the tables and doing a little number crunching of our own. We bring you 4 numerically based tales of mystery, terror, invasion, and more. But don't be a statistic. Yes, there is a DC book in this collection. A European favorite brought to North America by our publishing pals. Not sure exactly what's going to be in a number crunching one. I'm assuming something with, I don't know, data in computers or something is my best guess. So, and they did say there's going to be a DC book in this box. DC doesn't usually show up. I think in 2 years of me getting this, I've gotten a DC book once, maybe twice. So, yeah. So, one thing I just wanted to comment, I got 2 boxes this month. One of the boxes is a little banged up. The other one looks fine and normal. So, I'm wondering if it had something to do. I recently renewed my subscription right before this one went out. I was a little disappointed because normally I do a 6-month subscription at one time. You'll get a little discount. But Comic Bento is not doing that anymore. You have to buy it by the month now. And so now the price is $25 a month plus $5 shipping and handling. So that's $30. So you break that down, you know, per book, and for 4 books then. It's about $7.50 a book. Not as much of a deal as it used to be. When I first started getting this, I was spending probably like 22 something a box. So for 4 or 5 books. So it was like $5-6 a book I was getting before. So, prices go up as they always do, as we know with $3.99 and $4.99 comics out there. I hopefully this isn't a sign of any problems with Comic Bento, that they needed to raise their prices or anything. I have noticed that looking at the sales charts on the Diamond sales charts every month, some of the books that show up on there, when I first started, they used to show up in the 2,500 copy range. And now they're showing up around in the 1,500 copy range. So hopefully that's not some type of problem Comic Bento's having and they need to raise prices or something. So hopefully everything's going good. So, but anyway, I have two boxes here. So I'm going to open up the damaged box first and see what I can see if everything is okay in that box. And what do we have here? Okay. Alrighty, nice and vacuum sealed. And we have got, this is a book I actually heard about when I went to C2E2 a couple months ago. I talked to Inside Comics. They recently had a couple books in a couple months in a row from them. They're a new publisher. I don't know exactly where they're out of, but they had mentioned to me while I was at C2E2 that this book right here would be showing up in a Comic Bento soon. This is The Baker Street 4. By, let's see, who is this by? This is from Insight Comics, Baker Street 4, Volume 1, written by J.B. Dijon and Oliver Legrand, and art by David Etienne, E-T-I-E-N. What this is, I believe this is actually a French comic that they've translated and brought over. What it is, the Baker Street 4, everyone knows what 221B Baker Street is, that's the address of Sherlock Holmes. What this is about the Baker Street Boys. They're kind of the little homeless hoodlum boys. I wouldn't call them hoodlums, but the little homeless kids roaming around London who are little spies for Sherlock Holmes. You know, they'd know the word on the street and everything of what was going down. And so they pass information along. And apparently this book is about their adventures that they get into on their own. So, I love flipping through here. The artwork is phenomenal. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but definitely a little bit of a French feel to it, but very detailed artwork, very expressionist faces. Billy, Charlie, and Tom are inseparable and for good reason. Filled with con men and scoundrels, London's East End is not easily survived alone. Fortunately, three friends and their faithful feline companion can count on the protection of Sherlock Holmes, for whom they sometimes act as spies. When Tom's girlfriend is kidnapped, the Baker Street irregulars must put their budding sleuthing skills to use. Then, when a Russian immigrant is framed for a Jack Ripper-inspired crime, our heroes set out to discover the truth and uncover a conspiracy that may go deeper than they ever imagined. So, this looks very cool, and I'm very excited about this. Insight Comics is one that I think everyone needs to check out. They've been putting out a lot of cool books lately. So, anyway, on to the next one. DC Comics, Gotham by Midnight, Volume 1, We Do Not Sleep, by Ray Fox and Ben Temple Smith. This one came out, I forget if this was part of the New 52 or not. Let me see, let me go back. This was copyright 2015. So, yeah, it was a New 52 book. I believe I've read this one. Just kind of, you know, Gotham City policemen getting into all sorts of supernatural kind of adventures. Welcome to Gotham City's Precinct 13. It's the home of the GCPD Detailed Case Task Force, but most people just call them the Midnight Shift. They're the cops you call when things get strange, and in Gotham, the calls never stop coming. There's Lieutenant Weaver, the commanding officer of this motley crew, Dr. Xandor Tar, forensics expert and resident mad doctor, Sister Justine, religious consultant and pure soul, Detective Lisa Drake, a good cop with a big bad secret inside, and Detective Jim Corrigan, whose soul contains the spirit of vengeance known as the Spectre. Yes. Now, I am a huge Spectre fan. He's one of my, the run Jim Ostrander and Tom Mandrake from the 90s. That is one of my all-time favorite comic book series. So I've always got a soft spot in my heart for any Spectre story that comes out. So, the Ben Temple Smith art is very cool. I believe, didn't Ben Temple Smith, he did the, what do you call the 30 Days of Night vampire horror series. Yeah, 30 Days of Night, says it on the back, yes. So I'm looking forward to reading that one. Next one, this is one I have heard of very much, but I never actually read it. From Oni Press, Letter 44 by, let's see, this is by Charles Soule, Alberto Albuquerque, Dan Jackson, Sean DePasquale, and Guy Major. I've always heard about this, and I know this is a very long-running book that's gone a long way. But this is Volume 1, Escape Velocity, for Letter 44. Let's see, when did this one come out? It says and right up big in the corner, it says Oni Press $10. So this must be some type of special deal book. Let me see. This covers issues. It was printed in March 2017, and it covers issue quite. I think it's the first six issues of the series. On his first day in office, newly elected President Stephen Blades was expecting to dive into the various critical issues facing the nation. War, looming economic collapse, and a failing healthcare system. A typical presidency, in other words. But by the end of the first day, Blades has learned a single truth that redefines critical. 7 years prior, NASA discovered a potentially aggressive alien presence in the asteroid belt, and its predecessor, Commander-in-Chief, decided to keep it a secret from the world. A mission crewed by 9 heroic astronauts was sent to discover what's actually up there, and they're getting close to learning the truth, assuming their increasingly damaged and frail ship, the Clark, can hold itself together long enough to reach their destination. Stephen Blades has just become the most powerful man on the planet. Like I said, I've always heard of this before, so I've been curious to check this one out. Charles Soule, obviously a great comic book writer. He's been doing a lot of great stuff lately. This one's got a little shiny, glossy cover on the back and everything. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out. All right. And the last one is from Marvel. It's one of the Secret Wars trades from a few years ago. This is Secret Wars War Zones, 1872. Let's see. 1872, real heroes die with their boots on. In the battle world zone of 1872, Sheriff Steve Rogers faces corruption and fear in the boom town of Timely. Can Anthony Stark pull Rogers' fat from the fire? Probably not, since the only thing he seems capable of pulling is the cork from a bottle. Things in Timely are bad and getting worse, and when a stranger named Red Wolf is brought into town, Timely will be changed forever, for anyone left standing when the dust clears, that is. Can Justice trump the dead man's hand, and composed of Bullseye, Elektra, Grizzly, Doc Ock, and ringleader Wilson Fisk? And what concoction is the timid Dr. Banner cooking up in his apothecary? Plus classic appearances of Will Talltrees, the Marvel Universe's modern Red Wolf. This is collecting 1872, issues 1 through 4, plus the classic Avengers number 80 and material from Marvel Comics Presents number 170. So this is one, you know, I read a handful of the Secret Wars miniseries during the Secret Wars event. But I did not read this one. This one is written by Jerry Duggan, and the art is by Nick Varela. But actually, this concept actually sounds pretty interesting. Just crazy Western stories starring, obviously, Steve Rogers, Dr. Banner, Tony Stark. So this one, I'm looking forward to. And plus, a couple little extra, you know, reprints. I like how Marvel threw a couple of those in there. This one had a cover price of $16. So that is what we have from Comic Bento for May 2018. You've got The Baker Street 4 by Inside Comics. You've got Gotham by Midnight from DC Comics. You've got Letter 44, Volume 1 from Oni Press. And from Marvel, you've got 1872 Secret Wars miniseries. You know what? I'm going to open up this other box I just got also. See if they accidentally just goofed and sent me two boxes. I did check my credit card, and they did not charge me twice, so that's not my worry, but yep, they sent me two boxes by mistake, so, well, thank you very much, Comic Bento, I appreciate it. That's all I got for you for this month. Oh, a quick review of the ones from last month. Last month was Avengers Fear Itself. That was the tie-in series to the Fear Itself miniseries from about 5 years ago. These were all the Brian Michael Bendis issues from the ongoing Avengers and New Avengers title. Those were really good, and actually, they stood on their own, and they kind of helped explain parts of the event, you know, and I didn't have to go back and reread my Fear Itself issues to get what was going on. So, they were very good. Now, I'm a Bendis fan. Some people think he's too talky. I enjoy the talky, and I'm really looking forward to him on Superman coming up. Another one was The Ride by Ron Mars and various people. That was an Image Comics series from about, almost 15 or 20 years ago, kind of using this classic, I forget if it was a Camaro or some type of classic car, as kind of the, centerpiece of the story that all these little various short stories were built around. That was pretty good. I went and looked through my comic collection downstairs, and apparently I had already owned, I think, probably like 4 or 5 out of the 6 issues. They got reprinted already, but it's nice to have them all in one spot. Another interesting one that came out last week was called Wars in Toyland from Oni Press. That was written by Joe Harris and artwork by Adam Polina. That was a story about a kid whose brother goes missing, and they were good little playmates, and then this kid falls into his toy chest and falls into another world, and he finds his brother in that magical world where the toys have come to life and everything, and there's an evil they're trying to stop through. That was pretty fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a nice hardcover, and actually it was printed landscape style instead of your normal, I guess, portrait style, which you call a normal comic book. It was kind of twisted on its side. So you had these massive widescreen shots on some of these. It was very, very good artwork from Adam Polina. And the last book was a Valiant book, Savage. Just basically essentially the story of a little kid who crashed, his plane crashed on a desert island or something. And this kid had to survive. So, his mom raised him for his first few years. And then by the age of 5, he was on his own. But that was another good one. Didn't really connect into the Valiant universe too much, but I can definitely see by the end of it, they can go other places with it. So, but anyway, that's what I got for you for this month from Comic Bento, the number crunching. The theme for next month is going to be Other Worlds. So that'll be interesting, and we'll see what they got for me next month. Anyway, thanks a lot, John, for letting me do this, and hope you guys check out Comic Bento. Bye.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.